America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do it. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Pull up the promo here. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross Tucker joining us right now on the program. So, Ross, hey, Ross, real quick, before we get to the Texans' amazing offensive line, I saw you, I actually had a nice wager on the under in your Army Air Force game as I was sitting in the Golden Nugget Sportsbook this weekend, and I was pointing out to the server there as she was bringing me a nice coffee with some oomph in it. I said, that's my friend Ross right there on the screen. I was name-dropping you as I was gambling on the game you were doing.
Where's the Golden Nugget?
Lake Charles, Louisiana. Beautiful Lake Charles, Louisiana. About 25 miles into Louisiana from Texas. About 2 hours
from
here.
How far is that from where you are?
About 2 hours. About two hours, 15 minutes. It's not far.
Close enough for Jadeveon Clowney to get there.
I don't know if you guys heard me tell the story. I guess I said it on the College Draft podcast.
Yeah.
But you know how I love that the tailgate food at Army?
Yes.
I always post on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, but they have this famous Lichtenberg tailgate, and they literally hand me these like filet sandwiches, and I have a couple brats and a Cajun. It's just amazing.
Is this before the game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like at 9:15 before a noon game typically. I don't eat again till like dinner. yeah. It's too much. It's too much. It makes me sleepy, and it's unhealthy, but it's just so good. So what's funny is I put my bag down, with like my computer and my notes and stuff, and I grabbed the food. I started eating the food. And then the guy who's tailgated is talking to me. And then somebody else starts talking to me. It's like, all right, I got to go up to the booth now. Go over to get my bag. There is six gentlemen around my bag. Some combination of Secret Service and bomb squad. And I had just left my bag up against like the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it got flagged as an unattended bag. So what I didn't realize is I went over, I go, oh, sorry, guys, that's mine. Sorry, I was just eating real quick. And they looked at me like, you idiot. And then I looked at my bag. They had totally sliced open my bag.
No.
Evidently, that's protocol because the zipper could be the trigger that detonates the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if they're going to ever open up an unattended bag, they cut it open. It was my favorite bag. I had just gotten it, and they totally sliced it in like three places, all because I'm a fatty that had to eat one extra brat and not get over to my bag.
That's a great story.
Plus, you lost all your drugs, I bet.
You know what? It's funny that you say that. I'm glad I didn't have anything bad in there.
Yeah.
That's right.
or embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, like Jugs magazine or something.
Yeah. That's what this guy's into. He ain't into terrorism at all.
So you're the reason they still have this stuff at airports. That's okay. Right. I gotcha.
Oh, man. So, Ross.
Hey, Ross. Speaking of big fatties, look, the Texans' offensive line. Against all, D'Amico will swear up and down that just everybody has to play better. And I'll be honest. Usually, I understand that the level of technique and strategy and everything else that goes into offensive line play is kind of mind-blowing at times. So, and I know that there's, look, different offensive line coaches have different techniques. But when I watch the Texans, play as an offensive line as a group, I watch it from a defensive lineman's perspective. And I watch some of these twists and these TE games and even some of the more ornate blitzes. And as a defensive lineman, I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a seafood buffet. Like you can just, I can pick this guard and then still pivot back to the quarterback and there's going to be somebody open behind me. There just seems to be a lack of awareness on the interior offensive line, especially for the Texans, that I can't figure out. Is it coaching? Is it the individual players themselves? How are they this sloppy and this bad at doing things that, frankly, a lot of high school offensive lines are more competent at doing?
Yeah, so I don't like to do this, but I did homework for you guys.
Yes. Okay.
So obviously I watched the game, but then I also went back and I watched every sack. Now, I'm a little bit confused because they said 8 sacks. And the one play on the video was definitely not a sack. It was like C.J. Stroud running for like a first down. So
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I saw 7 sacks, okay? Wow. And I'll tell you, the 7 sacks I saw, I can tell you exactly whose fault it was, okay? The first one was the nickel D.J. Reed off the edge, and the offensive line was off the left edge. The offensive line was sliding right. Yeah. So that's either the running back is supposed to block him or no one's supposed to block him and the quarterback is supposed to throw the ball quickly to the receiver or running back or whatever. Okay, so that's number one. Number two was almost entirely left guard Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was definitely entirely left guard Kenyon Green. Number four was a TT where I didn't think the right guard, Shaq Mason, and the center, Drew Scruggs, did a good enough job. I'd probably put it more on Scruggs. It was a pretty good stunt by the Jets. But, Scruggs and Shaq have to do a better job passing that off. But it's mainly, in my mind, it's on Scruggs because he had help with the left guard. So he should have set firmer to the right. The fifth one was on Stroud. And the running back, Stroud. So this is the biggest concern for me for the Texans going forward, is that Stroud is like starting to get a little bit spooked.
Yeah.
Like Stroud is, the fifth one, Stroud's backing up. Like he's kind of afraid of what's going on. So he backs up. Tunsil took the guy around at like 8 or 9 yards. That should be okay. But Stroud dropped back too far. Didn't want to step up, and also the running back. I couldn't see who it was, but the running back totally missed on Sherwood, the safety coming late. The sixth one was just a total whiff by the left guard, in this case Kendrick Green. Which, by the way, one thing I would do if I were the Texans, like if I was Nick Caserio, there'd be no one else playing left guard. K. Green, like I would play anybody at left guard other than a guy who can go by K. Green at this point. But Kendrick Green in this case totally whiffed. And then the last one, the right side just kind of gave up too much push.
Yeah.
But that was another one where I'd like to see C.J. Stroud get rid of the ball. It's bothering me. Like some of these, he has to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go back and study it. Maybe there was a bunch of other plays in the game where he threw it away. I don't remember seeing that many during the game. But he's also, taking some sacks now that he shouldn't. He's like watching himself get sacked, if that makes sense, right? He's bracing for contact. It's bad. Like, they got to fix this quick. or they're going to have no shot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, Ross, like that's the frustrating thing was last year, literally three games into his career, CJ, he got sacked 11 times his first two games in the NFL. And then he got sacked no times for three or four weeks because he got really good at doing what you're saying he needs to do, which is throwing the football away. It was actually very frustrating. Seth will back me up on this. It was frustrating watching people nationally who weren't watching the Texans on a daily basis or on a weekly basis talk about how C.J. Stroud had accuracy issues because his completion percentage was below 60%. It's because he was throwing the ball away five times a game to avoid sacks, and you're absolutely right. That's a very jarring thing to see right now, is him just swallowing the football and taking sacks that oftentimes the last few weeks are knocking them out of field goal range, really bad sacks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was no question that he knocked him out of field goal range multiple times.
Yes.
And I would also say, even if you're not knocking him out of field goal range, if you guys look, and especially with their receiver issues right now, if you look, the odds of converting on a drive and scoring points when you get sacked, they're super low.
Yeah.
I mean, sack ratio is a really important stat because you give up a sack, let's say it's first down. Now you're second and 16. Good luck, Yeah. Or third and long. You're putting yourself, obviously, in really, really bad spots.
Yeah,
that's where I get frustrated sometimes when people argue about how pressures are just as important as sacks, and it's just, no, a sack kills a drive. It's a slam dunk. You kill a drive with that. And honestly, this is what we've been struggling with too, Ross, is that there are a lot of things you can point out on the offensive line, but I keep trying to go back to, okay, but no offensive line is perfect. They all make mistakes. Everybody takes sacks. If you just had competent left guard play, 50% of everything that you just talked about isn't an issue. And then especially maybe CJ's, the clock in his head is a little bit better because he can trust that left guard play. To not overly simplify it, if they could just, is it as simple as that though? Okay, with competent left guard play, a lot of this isn't nearly the talking point that it is right now.
Yes. It was at least half the sacks in this game. I think they have good enough players at the other positions. Yeah. I don't think, it's funny. Most of my starts in the NFL were at left guard. I think 16 of them maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when I was playing, anybody could play left guard. Oh, left guard. Anybody can play left guard. So in a sick way, I kind of like it that the left guard position's killing you guys. Because it shows that maybe it's not that easy. Maybe it's a little bit harder than people think. And the other thing is, Kenyon is hurt now, right?
Yeah, he's out for the season now. Yeah, one of the many schmazes in the backfield had C.J. Stroud landing on Kenyon Green's shoulder.
Yeah, Kenyon Green was injured by the very man he failed to protect.
Right.
It's a great irony moment.
Right, so you're never happy anybody gets hurt, obviously, so that's not good. But what the point I was going to make is, it is uncanny in the NFL, if you draft someone high and they fail, that is the position that it always holds you back.
Yep.
Because you're counting on a first-round pick guard to be a good player, and when they're you're not backfilling that position that much. You're really thinking that guy is going to be able to be a good player for you. And the thing that's crazy, wasn't he the 15th pick?
Yes.
He wasn't even a late first round.
No, he's 50. They had the 13th pick move back and watch Jordan Davis and Kyle Hamilton go right before him.
They gave up Kyle Hamilton to get Kenyon Green.
Yep. So yeah,
that's rough.
No, it's rough. Nick Casario's had a good run. That's one he'd like to have back, is I'm guessing.
And I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because it's important to note, because fans in Philly, right, they only ever bring up, the mistakes that Howie Roseman makes.
Right.
It's the GM for the Eagles. It's whoa, whoa, whoa. These guys all have batting averages.
Yeah.
And his batting average is actually like crazy high. You guys just, but they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
we know. It was bad.
Yep.
You know, like every guy has, every GM has at least one of those where it's like, oh man, that was really bad.
Hey, Ross, we just had some breaking news. You have like 2 more minutes that we can get your reaction to this?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me get in this read real quick. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The Texans' opponent this Sunday, the Detroit Lions, Sunday Night Football, just completed a trade for Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith and a 7th-round pick next year going to Detroit for a 5th-round pick this year and a 6th-round pick next year. So a bunch of day 3 shrapnel getting exchanged, and Za'Darius Smith is a Lion. That'll be their, I guess, their replacement for Aiden. There's no replacing Aiden Hutchinson, but Za'Darius Smith, obviously a very accomplished pass rusher. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's so funny because I typically record the Ross Tucker Football Podcast from like 7 to 7.30 a.m. Eastern time, around then.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish this trade would have happened later in the day because I literally said, I will be shocked if Za'Darius Smith is not traded today.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you knew after the Browns lost that game, the way they did to the Chargers, that they would be sellers. And also, you also knew that the Lions needed somebody, but the Browns, like, Za'Darius Smith had been the number one name mentioned in terms of potential trades, so you knew he was gone. So I'm not surprised at all. The Lions needed to have a guy that can at least win against one-on-one. I think he might have, like, 6 sacks this year. This guy, he's having one of those hilarious careers where he's been a very good player on, like, 6 teams now,
mm-hmm.
which is actually rare. You need to, like, you need to do something. You need to be, number one, like, straight business. And number two, you need to, like, wear out your welcome to be as productive as he's been. He's on, like, the Clowney plan at this point. It's hilarious.
Yeah, with actual sacks, though. he's Clowney with sacks.
5 sacks this year.
Yeah, he's Clowney with sacks. That is our Odyssey NFL Insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Hey, Ross, before we cut you loose, where are you this weekend? Where can we find your work?
Well, I'll have 2 NFL games next week, interestingly. Thursday night, I'll do Commanders-Eagles on Westwood One National Radio. And then Sunday, I'm back in the TV booth for CBS. But I don't – they just told us the game, so I can't say it until they announce it.
Oh, okay.
But this week, man, pros and cons of everything in life, I guess. But I'm flying back out to Hawaii. It's I got a game on cable for CBS Sports Network. UNLV, who's very good, at Hawaii. So it was nice for the UCLA-Hawaii game because I went out like a day early and whatever. This, I don't feel, I can't, like, now that we're like in the thick of the season, I can't do that. So no big deal, just 12 hours flying one way, 12 hours flying the other way in like a 48-hour period.
That's a real compliment to you and your work, I would guess, that they're like, well, let's just find somebody who we can get from California that we're not dropping a grenade in the middle of their lives. No, we need Ross Tucker on Hawaii and UNLV. Stat, I say.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Thank you.
That's how I look at it. I'm a Tucker maniac.
Hey, you know what? I love calling games, any game. UNLV is good, and I'm thrilled. It's just it's a long way.
It's a long flight. You're not coach, at least, right? Are they at least putting you business class or first class?
That's we can talk offline.
Okay,
about
I got
that.
You. All right, that's the great Ross Tucker. He is our Odyssey NFL Insider. Ross, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Mayo game day, be delicious.
Hell yeah.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
As Ross,
you know, I'm glad we got to talk to Ross, because that is, I keep coming back to this. It's that I try to think, okay, how much of this is specifically the left guard versus every other time an offensive lineman screws up? Now it feels like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this, and I can't believe they're doing that. By and large, you do just keep coming back to the common theme that, man, the left guard position has provided 80% of, at least 50% of the headaches. But then beyond that, there's other times where you ask, hey, why is a tight end or a running back blocking a defensive end? Well, it's because they had to turn the protection to help out the left guard.
Yeah.
So a lot of it does, I hate to overly simplify it, but just with competent left guard play, a lot of the other issues and headaches go away. But the other side of it too is that, okay, CJ Stroud, likewise, there's things he could be doing better that are a lot harder to do when you don't trust your pass protection. And some of it, like that first sack by DJ Reed, yeah, that's a corner blitz, and it's on the QB.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe Joe Mixon hadn't gotten his eyes around quick enough for CJ to get rid of the ball. He did, watching from the end zone. So, like, CJ, if he had recognized corner blitz, could have gotten the ball off to Joe Mixon, but he pulled the ball down and bolted, and I think in a way that I don't think he would have earlier in the season. I think it was just, he could feel it, and he's got it ingrained in him that this pocket's going to collapse so fast that I don't even have time to make the easy throw to Joe Mixon. That's what's really starting to make me nervous, is that it could, I don't think it'll break CJ permanently, but it might be hard to get out of this funk when he's not trusting the potential.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's my big takeaway from that conversation with Ross. It's the one thing I wrote down was, he said, he used the word, CJ Stroud looks spooked. He looks spooked, and that's his biggest concern right now from that game, Ross Tucker.
And that, if you think about that, DJ Reed had been lined up over Dalton Schultz. So the classic, all right, you throw to the void behind the blitzer, and right there in his line of sight would have been Joe Mixon and Dalton Schultz. And I think one big change so far this year has been, I think last year or early this season when Nico Collins was in there, there are a lot of times where CJ could still go to his primary read against the blitz because it was Nico Collins, and he has a trust level there to just get rid of it and throw to Nico before he's even into his break yet. And the timing is just perfect and meticulous. And he doesn't have that with these other guys. He just doesn't have that same trust level.
I got to tell you, if we ever had a guest on that said, if it was almost any other guest or if it was almost any other topic, and the guest said, yeah, I went back and watched the game, and there were 7 sacks, not 8, whatever.
Yeah.
And here's what happened on all 7 sacks. I would jump in and go, just give us the cliff notes. It's radio.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to find out who was at fault for all of these sacks.
Well,
I was riveted by that.
Yeah. He's given the cliff notes there, too. And that's where, you know, and again, and Ross, you know, if he had more time to talk over it, especially just when you talk about where CJ should be going with the hot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not always that simple. It's not as simple as it might look, because you don't know exactly who made a mental error on that play, who wasn't where they were supposed to be, all of that. But yeah, I think when you lay it out that way, it really is, you keep coming back to, man, there are a lot of issues in this game, but like, oh, this week, 40% of it was on the left guard.
Yeah.
Oh, this week, you know, a full third of it was on that. That's a lot. That's a lot in a position group of 5 people for the left guard to be responsible for that much woe.
Yeah, Ross has me scared. Ross, he's.
It doesn't. You know what? If it forces their hand into, like, they've been hoping for upside out of Kenyon Green, and this is the benefit of the doubt that a first round pick gets over and over and over again. There's something to be said for no, stick a journeyman offensive guard in there, and it's better than what we've had.
Yeah,
you've got to at least for this year, it's already been forced into your hand that you're going to abandon the Kenyon Green experiment for this year. But I think they held on to it the same way they held on to Damian Pierce for too long last year. I think they held on to Kenyon Green for way too long this year.
What are the chances that you think they make a change at center? I think
again, if you put a good veteran next to Juice Scruggs, I think Juice Scruggs has had some youth moments, and I think part of it especially is in that he's trying to make calls and get things sorted out.
That's why it's a mental side of things. Yeah.
He's been playing well enough that he should continue to get those reps. I've seen people say, hey, put Patterson at center and put Juice Scruggs at guard. I don't personally feel like Juice Scruggs is built to play guard. I think I was still optimistic about him at center last year, even after he struggled at left guard, because there are a lot of things about him that are just, they scream, this guy's a center. Mm-hmm. Patterson is more of a guy that I can totally see playing guard, and I liked him in his one series that he had in that with no first team reps that week in practice or anything. So I feel a lot better about Patterson playing left guard and Juice Scruggs at center right now.
Yeah, okay. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, this is D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show. So we played some of the press conference audio before. D'Amico Ryans is telling Mark Vandermeer and John Harris that all the problems that Seth and myself and Ross Tucker have spent the last 20 plus minutes talking about, these are fixable.
They're all fixable, right? Yeah, right. And that's the encouraging part about going forward. Like, man, they're all fixable, right? We know how to fit the run. We know how to play the run. Of course, it's going to come up this week. We got to be more physical. We got to set edges offensively. Let's execute better. Let's operate faster. And let's just keep pressing forward, moving the ball forward. Yep. But still a little frustration. Sure. But at the end of the day, like I tell the guys, like, In this league, like, there are a lot of ups and downs. We talk about building a foundation. We talk about the grind of a season, right? There are always ups and downs of a season. But how strong is your foundation that allows you to withstand, right? A little wind, little waves that come at you. It's just about being steady.
I'll give D'Amico credit. The lead into he had some other stuff he was saying prior to that cut right there. The lead into the question that led into all that was John Harris asking him, like, hey, you know, you've had a few days now to go back and watch the Jets game. You know, were there some, you know, does the frustration subside? I'm paraphrasing the question, obviously, but basically asking, like, hey, were there some, you know, do the good things that you saw in film, did you see some good things there? Does that make your frustration, you know, does that lower your frustration? D'Amico, I'll give him credit, is like, nope.
Yeah,
no, still super frustrated.
When it's something that's fixable, as a coach, you're looking at it yourself. It's like, okay, why haven't I fixed this yet? It's fixable. My job is to fix these issues.
Yeah.
Why haven't I fixed it yet? And the dirty side of the business, or the unfair side of the business, is that first rounders get the benefit of the doubt, and they get chance after chance after chance. I think with Kenyon Green, you have to look at the times where he's just getting individually beat, when you can't blame the center, you can't blame the tackle, he's just getting individually beat way too often, and it's a super highway to the quarterback when the left guard gets beat.
Yeah,
it just, when a really good athlete like Quinnen Williams beats you immediately, bad things are going to happen. So, like, that's where the journeyman blue collar left guard is way more appetizing than the upside of Kenyon Green right now. But Kenyon Green getting chance after chance has been a problem for this team.
We should circle back, too, because we're getting texts about it. The Lions just acquired Za'Darius Smith. Probably wouldn't be something that we're breaking down at 7:27 in the morning unless the Texans were playing the Lions this weekend, which they happen to be doing. They're playing the Lions this weekend.
If you look at just defensive efficiency right now, I think the Lions are a top five. The number three defense overall. They're ranked number three by DVOA. We know I have a history of screwing this up, Sean. Wait a second. I didn't look it up But I screwed up the ranking. They're the fourth ranked DVOA. Yeah. Houston's the third ranked defense right now.
Oh wow, the Texans are third in defensive DVOA.
Okay.
You go,
it's
Texans.
That swarm. It doesn't feel like it because it's all done with swarm. It's not necessarily done with it's not done with a lot of the classic huge performances.
No, it doesn't feel like it because we're coming off that Jets game where they got pieced in the second half.
It's in the second half, they just got destroyed without Will Anderson on the field, too. I mean, that's a big part of it. Will Anderson's a huge part. So it's a good parallel, though, because the Texans' defense wasn't the same without Will Anderson in the game. Aaron Rodgers, like, they didn't have to keep the tight end in to block, all of that. The Lions, once Aiden Hutchinson went out, started blitzing a lot more than they typically do because they're just not getting a good pass rush with the four-man rush the way they did when Aiden Hutchinson was in there. Yeah. So it's still been a really good defense, but now, yeah, you add a pass rusher into the mix, and it lets Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, former Texans legend, it makes it a lot simpler for him. So, yeah, this is a strengthened defense, and they were already playing really well.
Yep. It's bad news for the Texans. I don't know if it's game-changing bad news. My guess is the line is still 3 on this game. I don't think picking up Za'Darius Smith pushes it to the all-important 3.5. More than a field goal kind of thing.
The edge rushers don't concern me as much as the interior defensive linemen, just for all the reasons that we've just talked about, with where the interior offensive line has been the issue by and large.
Big questions with the Texans injury-wise. Jared Patterson, concussion protocol, but probably bigger than that, definitely bigger than that. Nico Collins in his hamstring. Although I saw a report, I think Aaron Wilson, saying that Collins in his workouts is pushing 20 miles per hour in his sprints, that's good news.
That sounds slow for him, though.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, man, speed it up. 55 saved lives.
They say he's the fastest on the GPS always.
Nico?
He puts out numbers, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember which coach. I think it was Slowick in training camp was saying that he hits numbers on his GPS that are just, they don't see it from anybody else.
Yeah. And then you got Will Anderson, as Seth just mentioned, who had his ankle rolled in that game on Thursday night against the Jets. We got no news yesterday from D'Amico. They're just monitoring it. Well, the news will come when the injury report comes out. But I thought this was interesting. This is D'Amico again on Texans All Access last night on the coach's show on how he handles injured players.
That's one of the toughest spots being a head coach, right? Of having to make that call of if a guy's close, but we still don't know. For me, I'll always lean towards making sure a player long-term health is always at the forefront of my decision, as opposed to come back a week too soon and now we lose you for call it 4 or 5 more weeks. Yep. So let's make sure you can practice throughout the week, right? And let's make sure you can show your teammates and yourself you can gain that confidence. Oh, I can go out and perform my job to the highest level.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to go glass half full on that when it comes to the two big injuries for the Texans.
Yeah.
D'Amico saying right there, I thought that was a really insightful quote, especially considering how important these injured players are to the Texans this week, is that my hope is that with Nico, it's what you and I were hoping for in the beginning when they put him on IR, which is, hey, man, let's just take a step back. We've got a good team. At the time, they had Stephon Diggs. We got a deeper receiving core. Let's you get healthy. Similarly, with Will Anderson, my hope is that he probably could have come back into that Jets game because he was doing all the stuff on the sidelines. Micah Parsons got a high ankle sprain in that game with the Giants, and he got knocked out for 4 weeks, but he got carted off the field.
Yeah.
Will was still doing things that indicate he might come back in.
Well, he did come back in, and he just didn't look the same. So
But even in the second half, he was still doing stuff there, trying to.
So and I think with Nico, he'd had the hamstring issue the week or two before too, where it popped up during the week, and we've just seen this over and over again in all the different sports. You try to work your way through a hamstring injury. It ends up being really frustrating because it's always back for 2 weeks. Now he's down this week. Then he's back for another week, and then he's down again. Mike Evans was working his way through a hamstring issue, and then when he finally went down it was a Thursday night football game, right?
Mike Evans went down on a Monday night football game.
It was a Monday night
game,
yeah.
Ravens, yeah.
It looked ugly. It looked really, really ugly. Yeah. So they want to avoid stuff like that. So, yeah, hopefully it's just that. It's for the long-term health of the player, but really from a football, like the team's needs, long-term means, we'd rather have him for – We'd rather have him for 12 games than two games here and then three games there and then maybe one game at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I heard that answer, and it actually made me somewhat hopeful about the this week Texans injured news.
Yeah.
The other thing, this was funny. DeMeco was asked by John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, because now they're about to head into some nationally televised games, so they're doing production meetings now with the big boys. You know, they did one. Production meetings for the Amazon game. They had the ESPN crew last year for the Week 18 game. They've had the NBC crew for the playoff game last year, and obviously CBS. They had Romo and Nance a couple weeks ago. What's it like in those production meetings?
Those are always fun. Right? Yeah. It's for me. You get to see these guys who you hear all the time on the broadcast, but it's always cool. They just want to know more about. They want to take a deeper dive into the players and the impact players, and they want to know a little bit more about the guys so they can tell the story as they're on TV. So a lot of questions on the guys. I think it depends on the crew. Some crews they're really dialed in and they know like the roster really well. And some just asked me to give a one liner on all my guys. I'm like, wait a minute. I can't go through all that.
On all your guys. All your guys?
That was an outlier for sure. But for the most part, they're pretty.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Can't tell you.
Okay.
All right.
What's a one liner? Would you give I'm going to ask you for a one liner. If somebody were to come in and do a documentary on Sports Radio 610. Give me your quick one-liner. Clint Sterner?
Clint Sterner is a unique country. He is a leader in the locker room, but has a very unique country flair to him. That is, he is who he is on the air. That's who he is off the air and around the building. Clint Sterner.
Now do Lopez.
John Lopez, nobody thinks that John Lopez is right more often than John Lopez thinks he's right. If you want to hear somebody state opinion as fact, you tune in to John Lopez. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, you really went in on Lopez.
Well, I got to be controversial, you know.
During my broadcast, I'm going to bring that up. You know, like I think it was very clear from talking to Sean Pendergast that he respects some Sports Radio 610 workmates more than others.
I think Lopez took what I just said as a compliment just now. I promise you, he did.
That he does say he recognizes that you recognize that he is indeed right every time.
No, that he states his opinions with the confidence of somebody who thinks they're a fact. That's what I would say.
Hey, I think. And then which broadcast crew do you think doesn't want the in-depth information?
That's what I was going.
Why is it Tony Romo?
That's where. Yeah. Is it a lazy narrative? Is it a lazy narrative to say that it had to be CBS that's the one that DeMeco is talking about there? That was looking for like literally a blurb on every player on the roster, it sounds like?
Do we get Tom Brady?
We haven't had Brady yet.
Do we get him? Like, is he slated for anything? I guess with just some of the bigger matchups because he's the wherever they send the number one.
It goes week to week. So, I don't think Brady knows which games he's doing in a couple of weeks. But
Brady's going to want the deep dive. As a player, I can tell you, I was awful in those production meetings because they do, like, sometimes they're asking for, like, so what kind of blitzes you guys have planned and everything? Yeah. And I wouldn't tell them. I'm like, I don't know what acceptable protocol is or anything, but I don't trust any of you dirtbags.
DTA, man.
You're drinking, buddy. Like, I don't know. I didn't go through and find out where, you know, who you played with on this, who on the coaching staff were you a teammate with back in the day? No, I'm not telling you a damn thing.
I'm going to say Collinsworth. He's so busy on, you know, he's busy running his PFF business on the side. Yeah. He doesn't have a chance to watch. He's like, just give me a line on each guy, you know, just to give me like a blurb on each guy.
Yeah.
I think I'll go Collinsworth 1, Romo 2. I think Aikman's pretty solid. I think Aikman's like all about it, you know?
I think Aikman would be a lot about the X's and O's. Yeah. I think Charles Davis would be a lot about the X's and O's. I think Trent Green would be a lot about the X's and O's. I'm just thinking of guys that have done Texans games recently.
Yeah.
Has
Rich Gannon done any of them with his little 2-point card that he carries around all
Gannon
the time?
Gannon was going in hard on the analytics. I know. Analytics ruining modern coaches.
Yeah, I know.
He's got his little book that he carries in his pocket with the decisions to make.
The 2-point card he carries around in his pocket. I remember the exact game where he was saying these things, and I'm like, you are a moron.
I do think, though, just because I've seen this up close and personal, Sean, there are some coaches who are done in by analytics because they can't grasp what they should and shouldn't use analytics for.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of the really good coaches in the league right now that are very much leaning on analytics, but they understand when they apply, when they don't apply, when not to have too much confidence in it. Because coaches have been using computers since the late 80s to break down opponents. It's not a matter of whether or not they're using math. It's like, what kind of math are they using, and do they know what the hell they're doing? I spent too many times in game plans where a defensive coordinator would be like, in this down and distance and in this personnel grouping, they run the ball 100% of the time. And you're looking at the paper and you're like, they've been in that situation three times.
They're 3 for 3.
Like, what? Yeah. Yeah, but these dudes will base their whole game plan on it. Like, 100%. It's 100%. Like, oh, we're going to get killed.
Are you? Yeah. Are you?
Great, great.
Are you ready to grade an apology in the next segment?
Oh, yeah, that's what I live
Jason
for.
Kelce
people
apologized for smashing some kid's iPhone at the Penn State-Ohio State game. He used the platform of Monday Night Football to issue this apology.
Yeah.
And I've got some issues with this apology, I will tell you right now. And we will play it for you. We'll let you be the judge. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so if you missed it over the weekend, this was actually big news and bled over into the pop culture side because it involved the brother of Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Jason Kelce, brother of Travis Kelce, tight end for the Chiefs. Yeah,
he's famous basically because he's Travis Kelce's brother, the same way Pat Mahomes' brother is famous.
For purposes of this story, kind of, yeah.
So Jason Kelce glomming onto his brother's fame. Well, never done anything on his own.
For purposes of this story, because what got yelled at Jason Kelce at the Penn State-Ohio State game had to do with Travis and Taylor Swift. And if you missed it, there's several different video angles of this whole interaction that that Jason Kelce had with what looked to be a Penn State student, if not a very young Penn State alum. The guy looked to be probably in his early 20s.
It looked like a kid that's never been punched before, and it showed in the way he was acting.
Yeah. So this kid was yelling something to the effect of, hey, Jason Kelce, your brother Travis is a gay
slur. How
does
it feel that your brother is a F-word for dating Taylor Swift?
For dating Taylor Swift. And so...
Which is a weird thing to accuse somebody of for being in a heterosexual relationship.
It is. We'll go with it. Yeah, it is. So Jason Kelce turns around, and this is like outside the stadium. People are tailgating and walking around, and this guy thought it'd be a good idea to scream that at Jason Kelce. There were other people yelling at Jason Kelce, but it was like, hey, it's Jason Kelce. Hey, what's up, Kelce? Yeah. This was the one guy who was yelling bad things. So Jason Kelce turns around, takes the guy's phone, says, who's the F-word now? Who's the F-word now? And slams the guy's phone on the ground. And shatters it. Like, it breaks his phone. The guy gets right up. The guy who was yelling initially at Jason Kelce picks up the phone and is finding anybody filming this that he can find, saying, look at this! And he says, Travis Kelce broke my phone. He even got the name wrong. Yeah, the video I sent you, he got the name wrong. Watch the end. So Jason Kelce, it's a bad look all the way around, I guess. I don't know.
Bad look, I think, for the most part. Like, Kelce, like, if he hadn't met slur with slur, I think a lot of other, like, people would almost unanimously be on his side. But, like, I think as far as when it comes to the action of grabbing somebody's phone who just insulted your brother, and like it's just somebody trying to go viral or get their flame. Like, I think most people felt like, smash that little bastard's phone.
Right.
No matter what the insult was or anything or how you feel about Taylor Swift or any of that, like, no. Just say these little punks can't keep coming up to people and doing crap like this. I say, yes, smash the phone.
Okay,
and by the fighting words doctrine, I absolve Jason Kelce from the actual smashing of the phone.
Incident. Yeah, look, I thought the kid had it coming to him, but Jason Kelce is a very public figure. He's one of the studio guys on Monday Night Football. Got his podcast, everything else. So last night in the pregame, he took the opportunity to apologize. Let's grade the apology here. We've got the elements of an apology in front of us, but let's take a listen to it. Here was Jason Kelce last night apologizing for his actions.
You know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week. That's what I'm. Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect. And I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though this past, even though I fell short this week, I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that. So, yeah, I think we got a game to focus on. Obviously, a matchup. I don't think this is the platform to necessarily go into more detail. So get ready for this Chiefs game.
Much respect, bro. Respect. For real. Yeah. All respect, my friend. Respect. No doubt. Yeah,
got all the respect at the end.
That
all
is,
right.
Yes, you should always turn the other cheek and all of that. I do feel like, look, Jason Kelce likes pro wrestling. And even just in listening to his voice there, he botched his Stone Cold Steve Austin moment by using the slur. I think he really like, because he's, if you didn't see it, he's carrying a six pack.
Yeah.
Like he's carrying a six pack of beer. He's got his beard and everything. He's walking along and it looked like something out of pro wrestling.
It did.
And I think it would have been an iconic moment, but obviously like nobody can market it that way now.
No.
I think what he genuinely regrets is that he botched the actual, what's it called when they do the promo? Yeah, the promo.
Cut a promo on the guy.
He cut a promo and went too far. Yeah.
So, yeah, he did. He cut a promo that could get him canceled next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as the elements of an apology, I don't think this was a good apology by Jason Kelce, and there's two big reasons why. The very first two elements of an apology are, one, say you're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you regret what you did, not that you're devastated. Say you're sorry. He never said he was sorry in that whole 51 seconds of audio right there.
Well, who would he apologize to, though? Would he apologize to the kid himself? Because I don't think that kid deserves an apology. I would say apologize to America and the example.
Apologize for using the word. I guess for using the word or the example he set. Yeah. So I would say he failed there.
Okay.
This was the big one to me. Number two, say what it is you're apologizing for. He never said that. He said, I'm sure everybody's seen it on social media. This is one
no,
of those
they
things.
Haven't. They
right.
Haven't.
That's what I was going to say. Like, they, like, no, 12% of the country has seen it on social media. If you're going to use time on national television to apologize for something, be clear about what you're apologizing for. Otherwise, you just said it yourself. I'm sure you saw on social media. Do a Twitter video, post it, apologizing, and be done with it, and stop wasting our time on Monday Night Football.
You're part of the problem.
Yes.
You're part of the problem, Jason Kelce, in that you think that your own little cyber world
is the
universal cyber experience.
Yes.
Like, no. There's so many things that go viral every single day that I am completely ignorant of.
Right.
I'm always finding out about some celebrity that everybody knows this guy. Oh, those damn Costco people. Those the damn Costco bunch. Everybody's like, oh, everybody knows the Costco bunch. No, I don't.
And
I didn't know them at all.
And you're
and now
actually,
they're in my life.
You're actually on social media.
Right,
like
they, right,
like
right.
There's the other, however big percent it is, the majority that aren't on there at all. So
that's, so for everybody, the Costco guys, this family that sings about Costco and stuff. Oh, apparently, people that know the Costco guys think that everybody knows the Costco guys.
Yeah, I don't.
And I was blissfully unaware of them until they did a song about the Yankees.
Yeah. Oh, that's that those people. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
the guy that bring the boom.
Yeah. Okay, that's those people. We'll go through these other ones real quick. Show you understand why it was bad. Take ownership. I think he did that. I think he took ownership. Don't make excuses. I don't think he made any excuses there. Say why it won't happen again. What steps are you taking? He did say that it won't happen again. He wasn't specific as to what steps you take, or just don't do it again, right? I mean, I don't think Like, I don't think Jason Kelce is a homophobe because he used that word in that.
I didn't know. I think he was in a moment where somebody brought, that's what they were. It's one of those things where, this guy clearly thinks this is the worst thing I can call somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and show you that, like, yeah, no, you're the.
So I think, well, the what steps he say, I will give him a ding on that one, Ben. If it's relevant, make reparations. Now, does he end up paying for this?
I don't think he needs to make reparations. Hey, attorneys, tell me on the text line whether I'm using this accurately or not. A lot of times people say, like, well, no, with freedom of speech, you're allowed to say whatever you want. That guy can say that. No, you actually can't to somebody's face. There is a fighting words doctrine where, like, you can't walk up to, it's one thing when you print things in an article or something. When you walk up to somebody and say it to their face, like something that would be construed as fighting words, you lose a lot of the protections that you get.
What if it's about his brother, though, not about him?
It's fighting words. It's fighting like the words, okay. Are like, is this something that, like, a reasonable person would consider fighting words?
Text in.
The bar keeps getting lowered and lowered for what fighting words are in America.
Yeah.
But and it doesn't absolve Jason Kelce from anything he does, you know, but it also does it. You lose some of your protection when you go up to somebody and say, hey, if you don't fight me right now, you're a punk and a coward. You lose some of that protection. Yeah, you're not completely immune to any of the consequences.
Gotcha. All right, text in. Lawyers text in. Does he need to pay for this guy's phone? Or is this guy just a clown?
How would this play out in most courts?
Dude,
you know?
That's the biggest punishment there was in that whole thing, is the dude's got to go to the Apple store now and wait in line to get another phone.
I think he's got, the funniest thing is going to be that this guy thought that he probably, like, is going to come out like the victim in all of this, when I think most people are like, no, this kid totally deserved what he got.
Yeah, he's a jerk. 713-572-46. That's a good lead-in. Pettycast. Seth and I get petty, and we highlight the pettiness all around the sports world, including I'm going to get super petty about a former Astro right out of the chute. And we'll do that coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.